Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day, the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for June 5th, 2019, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul has just finished, well, mostly finished, talking about the divisions in the church, and the most urgent, pressing problem right now is this division within the church. And he addressed that, first of all, you know, right off the bat, talking about the unity that they have. And we noticed back at the very beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, that he's writing to the believers, to the church of God in Corinth, those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, who are called as saints. And so after reminding them of who they are, he reminds them of how God works and what we should expect and the sort of consideration that we have for one another in Christ. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. As for me, brothers, when I came to you, I did not come with superior speech or wisdom in order to proclaim to you the testimony of God. For I had no intention of knowing anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, in fear, and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not marked by persuasive words of human wisdom, but by a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, but it is not a wisdom of this world, or of the rulers of this world, who are being reduced to nothing. Instead, we speak God's wisdom that has been hidden in mystery before the ages. God foreordained that this wisdom would result in our glory. None of the rulers of this world knew it. If they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no human mind has conceived, this is what God has prepared for those who love him. But God revealed it to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Indeed, who among men knows a man's thoughts except the man's spirit within him? So also, no one else knows God's thoughts except God's Spirit. What we receive is not the spirit of the world, but is the Spirit who is from God, so that we might know the blessings freely given to us by God. We also speak about these things, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, speaking spiritual truths with spiritual words. However, an unspiritual person does not accept the truths taught by God's Spirit because they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually evaluated. But the spiritual person evaluates all things, and he himself is evaluated by no one. Indeed, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of our God. And so after beginning and saying that he didn't come to them with wise and persuasive words, he is not interested in manipulating them and reinforcing their theology of glory that is so focused on earthly success and principles and the things that I have to do in order to improve my own standing or my own actions or reach my potential, which is kind of the way that modern Christians who subscribe to the theology of glory talk about reaching your potential. Paul isn't interested in that. He's interested in pointing to Jesus. And so he says, I didn't come to you with the wisdom of the world and all the principles and practices of the self-help section at Barnes & Noble. He says, I came to you with a preaching of the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Verse 4, my message and my preaching were not marked by persuasive words of human wisdom, but by a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. And that's, what better example of a pastor would you want than somebody who just stands there pointing? I want you to see Jesus. I want you to see Jesus. I don't want you to be distracted by the sin of your own life or by division within the church. Look at him. Look at Jesus. But Paul goes on to say, but we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, but it is not a wisdom of this world or of the rulers of this world, because those are coming to nothing. The wisdom that we speak is the wisdom of Christ. And the key to understanding this entire section is in verse 7. We speak God's wisdom that has been hidden in mystery. Before the ages, God foreordained that this wisdom would result in our glory. And so, this wisdom of God has been hidden in mystery. Biblically speaking, it's not like, you know, Sherlock Holmes or Basil Rathbone or anything like that, or even Father Brown, if you like G.K. Chesterton. It's not mystery like something you see on Murder, She Wrote. Biblically speaking, a mystery is something that cannot be perceived by our own human powers. So a mystery is something that God has to reveal to us. A mystery is whether it's a blessing or a teaching that God has to reveal to us, God has to tell us about. And so among the many mysteries, we would have first and foremost the mystery of God's grace, where when Isaiah writes that God says, "My ways are not your ways, and my ideas are not, my thoughts are not your thoughts, as the heavens are higher than the earth," you know, that sort of thing. And I don't know, Isaiah 55 or so. And when Isaiah writes that, what God is saying isn't that, you know, God is just mysterious and, well, God's got different plans for my life. Not at all. What Isaiah is saying is this mystery of grace. That human reason says that I want to hold somebody accountable and I want to extract revenge, or at least make sure there's some payback, or they get what they deserved, or I get some compensation for the hurt that was inflicted on me. That's what human reason says. But God's way is that he who had every right to exact revenge and punishment on us instead chose to forgive by placing that punishment on his son. That's a mystery. That's the mystery of God's grace. Or consider the mystery, you know, what from human power and perception, the mystery of the sacraments, that in baptism God creates faith and gives the forgiveness of sins. That's a mystery because human reason cannot perceive that switch, that change between, you know, a baby who is adorable and dead in sin, and a baby who is equally adorable and a child of God after baptism. Because baptism is a mystery because human reason cannot and human power cannot perceive the spiritual reality that God brings about, or the mystery of Holy Communion, where each communicant, whether a believer or not, and hopefully only believers, because we only admit people to communion who have confessed their faith, their unity of faith within us, or the faith that we share. And granted, I can't read their hearts, but I go by what they say they believe. And so when every communicant goes up to the Lord's Supper, each one receive Christ's body together with the bread and Christ's blood together with the wine. It's not something that can be perceived by human power, whether, you know, a scanning electron microscope or taste or touch or smell or anything like that. But it is a mystery because God has revealed the truth about it. God has spoken to us in his word and has revealed this mystery to us. And there are many more. Paul here makes this allusion, perhaps, to in verse 7. God, before the ages, God foreordained that this wisdom would result in our glory. There, referring about the mystery of predestination, that God chose you to be his own before he created the world, and that he brought you to faith in time through the speaking of another, or through the proclamation of the gospel by another, so that the Holy Spirit would create faith within your heart and bring you to faith in time. These are the mysteries that we share. Even the mystery that we talked about this past Sunday, and you can check us out on the podcast for the sermon from this past Sunday, the mystery of the fellowship that we share, that there's this one church, this one invisible church made up of Christians from across time and across space. The church in heaven and the church on earth is one church. The only difference is the church in heaven, those are the saints triumphant. They don't have to struggle against sin, Satan, or temptation. And the church on earth, this half of the church, are those who are united perfectly in faith and yet also still have to struggle against sin, temptation, and Satan. That's a mystery. But that's the sort of mystery that Jesus raises our eyes to see. That's the mystery that he comforts us with at every every element of our lives, all the way down to the final grave, where human reason, human power says, this is the end, that's it, and there ain't no more. Just have a party when I'm gone and get on with life. Remember me with happy thoughts. That's what human reason and human power says. And God's mystery is that even though this believer has died, he or she has really only fallen asleep, because that person is alive before Jesus today in heaven, and this body will be raised to life at the end of time. So as you go about your day, just take a moment to contemplate the mysteries, any and every element of our faith that would not be known, you know, aside from, you know, the role of human reason in worldly actions and the natural knowledge of God, but everything else would not be known had God not revealed it to us. What a mystery. But for the purpose of his glory, he has revealed this mystery to us, that we rejoice in them, that we share in them together, that we celebrate them, that we are comforted by them. Worship is tonight at 7 p.m. and Sunday morning at 9 a.m. 2250 South Hollands Avenue Road in Maumee. You can also check us out on YouTube. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.